He imagined he understood too many things ever to do anything well. And so old Robert sipped the burned ale of his own experimenting and smiled into the fire. His wife would be whispering excuses for him, he knew, and the laborers in the fields removed their hats to Morgan, not to Robert. Even his aged mother, Gwendolina, were here beside him, shivering to the fire, as though the very wind sounds about the house called in the cold to her, was not so judged incompetent. In the cottages there was a little fear of her and a great respect. Any day when she sat in the garden, holding her necromantic court, you might see some tall farm lad blushing and hugging his hat across his chest while he listened to Gwendolina's magic. For many years now, she had been practicing the second sight and taking pride in it. And though the family knew her prophecies to be whole guesses, whose shrewdness grew less sharp with the years, they listened to her with respect and simulated awe and asked of her the location of lost things. When after one of her mystic recitations, the scissors were not discovered under the second board of the shed floor, they pretended to find them there anyway. For had she lost a robe of augury, there would have remained only a little wrinkled old woman soon to die. This play of clack to a simpleton was a harsh tax on the convictions of Mother Morgan. It outraged her nature, for she was one who had apparently come into the world to be a scourge to all foolishness. Such matters as had so obviously no connection either with the church or with the prices of things were plainly nonsense. Old Robert had loved his wife so well and so long that he could think sharp things about her, and the thoughts could not injure his affection. When she had come home this afternoon raging over the price of a pair of shoes she hadn't wanted anyway, he had considered, her life is like a book crowned with mighty events. Every day she rises to the peak of some tremendous climax, which has to do with buttons or a neighbor's wedding. I think that when true tragedy comes in upon her, she will not see it over her range of anthills. Perhaps this is luck, he thought. And then, I wonder now how she would compare the king's own death with the loss of one of the sow's red pigs. Mother Morgan was too busy with the day itself to be bothered with the foolishness of abstractions. Someone in the family had to be practical, or the thatch would blow away. And what could you expect of a pack of dreamers like Robert and Gwendolina and her son Henry? She loved her husband with a queer mixture of pity and contempt, born of his failings and his goodness. Young Henry, her son, she worshipped, though of course she could not trust him to have the least idea of what was to his benefit or conducive to his health. And all of the family loved Mother Morgan, and feared her and got in her way. She had fed them and trimmed the lamp. Breakfast was on the fire. Now she searched about for something to mend, as though she did not mend everything the moment it was torn. In the midst of her search for busyness, she paused and glanced sharply at young Henry. It was the kind of harsh, affectionate look which says, I wonder now if he is not in the way of catching cold there on the floor. And Henry squirmed, wondering what things he had neglected to do that afternoon. But immediately she caught up a cloth and went dusting, and the boy was reassured. He laid propped on one elbow and stared past the fire into his thoughts, the long gray afternoon, piercing to this mysterious night, had called up strong yearnings in him, seeds of which were planted months before. It was a desire for a thing he could not name. Perhaps the same force moved him which collected the birds into exploring parties and made the animals nervously sniff upwind for the scent of winter. Young Henry was conscious this night that he had lived on for 15 tedious years without accomplishing any single thing of importance.